Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Yeah, g'day, buddy. Just holding your hands, keeping you company as we head towards 3 o'clock kickoff. The Titans and the Warriors. Wendell Saylor, are you across what's going on in the basketball just quickly? Do you?
Yes, I am. The Cavs. They were down 3-0. Yep. Today is obviously the fourth game. Mm-hmm. And they're winning. They were winning at halftime. They're winning by about 20. Where's that score? So
68, I can see
yes.
that.
Are you asking Wendell about the basketball because he's tall?
No, I'm asking because I know he's passionate about the game.
And I love LeBron. Because I just love him. There's so much man love there for LeBron.
Really? Do you rate him above Michael Jordan?
No.
Right, okay.
No.
But both were the heroes of yours?
Yeah, mate, yeah. Those two and Tiger Woods.
Give it to me.
Yeah, Jimmy Bucks.
Yeah. Bucksy boy.
That was a little bit disturbing.
It was.
He started to touch my hand there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I'm feeling it today because it's at National Sex Day.
Yeah, it was yesterday, but we're having it for ourselves today.
Is that a HR issue, you think?
It's just weird. Righto, let's rip into it.
Nothing so, weird about it. It was just friendly.
Yeah. A lot of talk about Jonathan Thurston, whether he's going to play or not today. Obviously, they're up in Darwin, the Cowboys, and they play the Parramatta Eels. He will definitely play. So he got through the captain's run yesterday. Provided he gets through that game, of course, he's going to go straight back into the Maroons along with Billy Slater. And then the interesting twist, Wendell, is I think Amir and Darius Boyd is actually going to play left centre.
Yeah, no, I think your mail's quite right there. I think Josie O'Neill, he's on the way out, unfortunately. Yep. He didn't have a real happy game.
Will Chambers goes to the right side, Darius Boyd goes to left centre.
Yes.
Corey Oates stays on the left wing or?
Yeah, you'd say that's what they're going to do. And then obviously Dane Gagai, because he's played so well
at
Origin level.
The first
he was so good, but he's played his best football at Origin. There's a thought that if he goes to the centres, I think, he'd be on Hayne, wouldn't he? If he does go to centres.
Yeah.
And defensively, he doesn't get lost a little bit, but his decision-making.
So all of those years, all those games at Darius Boyd on the wing for Origin, and all the talk about it, now that you're saying they're going
left
center with him in the left
center. Yeah, that's all the talk at the moment.
I think they really need Oates coming out of trouble. I mean, they need his running, and I think Darius Boyd also, is a big physical guy, but he certainly doesn't have the yardage, the carries and yardage that they need, especially if they go in with a smaller packet like they did in game one.
I think that's false, Kurtz, because I think, mate, what Laurie did in the coaching staff is they kept kicking to Oates, which took those big runs, those big carries that he has out. I know we didn't play on the front foot, but he got tired real quickly, and it's unfortunate. But his technique has really improved, and it's so much better. But they're going to keep kicking to him, and at ANZ Stadium they'll kick him behind him too. So I reckon you've got to find a place for Valentine Holmes. I think we saw on Thursday night he's an Australian winger. He just, even for his size, he's just so powerful, and that footwork. You're going to need that at ANZ Stadium. It gets a little bit slippery in that. I mean, Oates played well. It'd be very. Yeah, for him, it'd be very unfortunate. You've played a pretty good game and to get dropped.
So you're picking and flicking Corey Oates?
Yeah, I am. He's not in my outside five.
You've had the red pen out today.
No,
scratched half the side.
No, my job is to pick a team that I think can do the job in Origin 2. And, mate, for me, I would go with Billy at fullback. Obviously, Valentine Holmes, on one wing and Darius Boyd. And the centre's Gagai and Chambers. I know that Wayne's got that, that defensive stuff with Gagai, but I just think that's the outside five I'd like for Queensland.
Okay.
All right. Foxy?
Otherwise, look, in terms of club footy, the West Tigers have made a bit of a play for Michael Gordon to try and get him as their fullback for next season. They have quite aggressively had a bit of a crack at him, but...
How old is Michael Gordon?
No, he's well
32?
In his
32.
31, 32. Right. But he's, he's still got a couple
good
years.
Good player, really good player.
But what's happening on the wing over there for the Roosters? Tupo, he was off contract, and what about Kenny Dowell?
Tupo re-signed. Obviously, Kenny Dowell's not going to be
there.
Off
contract. Okay.
And Ferguson? Blake Ferguson's also off contract. So, at the moment... It looks as though Michael Gordon will be filling one of those positions next year.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Anything else in clubland?
Can I ask you a quick question just in relation to, Jimmy the Fox? Mm. What about Trbojevic? He played last night. Is he a chance of forcing his way into the New South Wales side?
I think the only way he would force his way in there, Gerds, injury? Is if there's an injury or a suspension. Yeah, absolutely.
You think Laurie will take him into camp?
Yeah, he's probably a good chance of going to camp for sure.
He can't change the side, can they?
I wouldn't think they'd make changes unless there's an injury or there's a suspension, but certainly he would have been there for the first game.
Yeah.
And I actually reckon Brett Morris would have still been on the left wing. I reckon Blake Ferguson might have been the player who missed out there.
But then also, you've got Josh Mansell. I know he's only one game back. I know you wouldn't put him in there, but geez, mate, it's an embarrassment of riches. You guys, mate, are just killing it at the moment.
Oh, yeah, because you can't fit Valentine Holmes and Billy Slater in your side. You're struggling as well.
Laurie Daly did say, basically said that they were picking the same side. Now, I heard that stat on during the week. Was it since 1996 that they've had picked the same side, you know, stuck with the same side from first to second game, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah.
Do love it.
Get the snore out.
Are you backing off my game now? Don't like it?
No. Nah. Because Paul last week.
We will have to play Tony Archer again a little bit later.
Oh, can't wait. It'll be good.
It was good.
That's 2 minutes I want to get back out of my life.
NRL journeyman, gentlemen, I'm going to ask you, I've got a player each for you, and I want you to name, I know it says 3 and 5, as many clubs as you can in the 5 seconds you have that this player has played for. You with me? All right, I'm going to start with you, Wendell Saylor. Your player is Phil Blake.
Phil Blake. Manly. South Sydney,
you got two out of six. You're better than that.
I'm better
two
than that.
Two out of six. Manly, South Sydney, North Sydney, Canberra, St George, and Auckland.
Delicious. You're better than that.
You're disappointed, aren't you?
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
But I don't know if there's any other players or ex-players that have played for six clubs, Tony.
No, I think he's held. Well, you know what? Hold that thought because I'm going to ask you, James Hooper. Your player is Mr. Brett Camoli.
Oh. Sharks, Northern Eagles, Hunter Mariners.
Yes.
Canterbury.
No, not in time. Yes, he was. Oh. He was. Yeah, well, you didn't get it in time.
Yeah,
that's right.
So you okay, you so picked, how many three. 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 How many did you play for?
He played for South Sydney.
I don't think he played for the Tigers.
He played for North Queensland, the Hunter Mariners. He played Balmain and West Tigers as two clubs there. And, of course, the Raiders.
So Jimmy Fox gets it.
The winner is Jimmy Fox. Well done, fella. Well done, James Hooper.
Love your hand, buddy.
Look, before we move on.
What sort of moisturiser do you use on your hands?
That's not moisturiser, Wendell.
Saturday Triple M and RL.
Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good.
Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
It was a second grand final rematch of the year. The Storm and the Sharkies. Storm winners 18-13, reversing the 11-2 win that the Sharkies had in Melbourne earlier in the season. I'm not sure whether we're looking at what is also the grand final preview. Both sides are in terrific form this season. The refereeing we spoke about earlier, it wasn't done by Cameron Smith. There was no accusation that he was out there blowing the whistle, but there certainly was a little bit of talk that he had unreasonable influence over the referees. Here is Coach Flanagan post-game.
They were at their best. Melbourne Storm wrestled today. It was slow, it was frustrating. Referee Smith did a good job. He's just a good player and he knows how to, whether you call it, fought the rules or pushed the referee or whatever it is, he's the best at it. And he showed tonight he had one of those games.
There is Shane Flanagan, referee Smith. We've all spoken about Cameron Smith and how he deals with referees quite brilliantly. Did you see that during the game?
Oh, there's no question Cameron Smith's one of the best when it comes to dealing with the referees. But did he have an overly huge influence in that particular game? I didn't see it that way. Gerds?
Oh, look, they're just planting seeds for later on. They're the sort of side that like to slow things down and sort of wrestle and scrap. So,
That's right,
they kind of...
It was the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, it was a little bit. Yeah. And I think most people
I don't think Flano's really in a position to throw stones about what he was allegedly griping in relation to Cameron Smith. But it's gamesmanship, a little bit of mind games. Some people say it's sour grapes. I didn't see it that way. I just thought it was a little bit of mind games for, like Gerd said, they're going to meet again. and they're going to meet again in the big end of season games. And so he's just trying to get a little bit of rub of the green if he can at this point in time.
But as we've seen, it's a healthy rivalry. You know, mate,
great rivalry.
You know, Gell got fired up there and, you know, Wade Graham. Mate, Jack Bird, Cameron Munster, the two young guns, every time they ran the ball, they try to take each other's head off, you know, legally. But even like Cameron Smith, like around that ruck area, like he did own it. But that 40-20, mate, it was like a 30-10, wasn't it? Like,
huge.
You know, Dan Breeze, just smart footballer. And for me, the outside backs, some of those outside backs, in those conditions, you know, we call that game Thursday night. You know, Val Holmes, Billy Slater made a couple of mistakes early trying to push the play, but he was there at the death, you know. And just even Kafusi, those two tries on the edges, you know, Wade Graham, it just had everything that you want. Like, I think Fifita got contained for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Yeah.
Melbourne, their defence won on the game. Yes. Melbourne's defence was extraordinary.
No Cooper Cronk, you know, Riley Jacks was in there. Yeah. Riley Jacks, I know he's not your Cooper Cronk, and they've got a lot of good halves around, young halves. Cam Smith was just getting his hands all around the ball and that, and Fifita just kept pushing at Cam Smith. He's getting filthy, so they sort of knew how to get him sort of rolled up a little bit, you know. But Fifita didn't take the bait, but it was the most I've seen contained. But Sharks had a couple of chances to win it there at the end. I think Ricky Latelli, I think twice, 2-on-1, just a little pass there to Fecky, and that just didn't let that ball go, you know.
Well, if that kick at the end sits up,
of course,
too,
yeah, then Fecky's
home.
Cam Smith did actually get penalised twice in that game, which is unusual. But his approach to referees is very—he's respectful. He does it the right way, doesn't he? In your day, was there anybody who was just really particularly good at, I'm not saying manipulation of referees, but at talking to them?
Oh, not as good. Laurie Daly was good. Laurie Daly, I mean, he captain, you know, for Australia, and that Laurie was really good. I think it's the demeanour that you speak to people with, you know. If you look at over the years, you know, even like Gell and the way that he speaks.
Mel was pretty good back in the day,
Mel was good
he?
Too, yeah. But I just, mate, Cam Smith, he just does it so easy, you know.
I think because he's on the ball so much as well, it gives him opportunity to have those, even though he does 40 tackles and he's always there. He's just in the right spot at the right time. So every time a decision's made, because he's on the football, he gets to communicate with the referees. Whereas if you're a 5'8", or, you know, you're playing another position, a halfback, you don't necessarily always get to have your opinion heard. And I think that's why he has such a really strong voice.
Great
because
rapport.
He's always there.
Thursday night footy. Now, obviously, it's about broadcasting. It's about TV. Not a lot of bums on seats for what, you know, was bad weather.
Terrible conditions.
Very bad conditions. But I love it in terms of moving towards the weekend rather than Monday night footy. But, you know, you'd love to see a full stadium or somewhere near a full stadium.
It's the same as last night's game, the Friday night game, the 6 o'clock game. I mean, it's great for us. It's brilliant to give people an opportunity to listen to footy on the way home, but it's not necessarily great for the clubs because they don't attract a big audience. And, I think the Thursday's the same. I mean, it's set up now, obviously, for the viewer, for the consumer, isn't it? And I'm certainly working, I think, in that regard. But getting people to games on different nights of the week is always going to be a battle because it's not tradition. I mean, you talk about Melbourne and why they're so successful and how they get the crowds there is because every weekend they go through sort of the same tradition of getting up, going to, you know, somewhere for breakfast and then walking to the G or whatever it may be. And it's just part of their weekly habit. But I guess for the NRL, changing it around and making it, I guess, a better product for TV and for radio, the broadcasters, it means mixing it around and having it on different days.
Yeah.
What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, I love it. There's a shape the size of my ass in my couch because I sat in the watching the TV, just flipping around. Brilliant.
So it's got the desired effect, but it'll be interesting, Hoops, when the NRL get, you know, the opportunity to change that and make it again for the clubs and for the fans getting out to games. Do you think they'll change the nights in which we play?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. So when do they take over? Is it next year?
I think it's after.
I think they get hold of the
18. Yeah.
Yeah, they get a hold of the scheduling soon. So yeah, look, we'll have to wait and see how it rolls out. But yeah, you'd have to think it might be an area that they want to have a look at.
We're going to catch up with Daly Cherry Evans. He's been instrumental in some Manly wins there on a bit of a roll. They bet the Knights 18-14 as a look to the Tyre Power scoreboard. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Saturday Triple M NRL heading towards that 3 p.m. kickoff. The Titans and the Warriors at Cbus Stadium. Should be a terrific game of footy. Speaking of great games of footy, there's been a lot of talk over the off-season, certainly about how well the Raiders were going to go, about how well the Panthers were going to go. Now, the Panthers seem to have brought their season to life. The Raiders, a little bit up and down, but they're there or thereabouts in ninth spot. This is a big game of footy, James Hooper.
Massive, massive game, Tone. So it's at Carrington Park in Bathurst, which they have been doing on a regular basis now over the course of the last few years. But for both clubs, if you go back to the start of the year, a lot of people had Penrith or the Raiders finishing first, if not second. Then the way that things have unfolded, obviously the Panthers had a very flat start until we saw Moylan go to 5-8 last week. They were still very much a little bit up and down. And the Raiders, well, they just haven't really been able to hit that consistent mark and win the tight game last year. That's what's hurt them this year.
They've had about four golden point games.
They have, yes. And they haven't been able to get a result. Yeah. So that's what, the way I see it, that's what's really stinging them. But this game this afternoon, I think it's going to have massive ramifications for both clubs in terms of where they finish come September.
Do you like what Matt Moylan brought to the number six?
I like him at one. To be honest, look, the thing is with Penrith, a lot of people are getting excited about them at the moment, and that's great because the fans obviously haven't a lot to cheer about, but they've beaten five teams, and those five teams are below them on the table, which isn't saying much considering Penrith are still in the bottom half of the ladder. So this is more of a gauge, I think, on where they're at and what they can do in the back end of the season. The interesting part about this game is you've got two sides that were tipped to be sort of in the top four at the start of the year, and one through the Origin period, you know, they've got one player out of both sides that's involved, Josh Papali, in the Origin series. I mean, so it's an opportunity for both of these guys during this period to sort of climb up the ladder. And I think it's a good gauge for both of them, who have been really inconsistent so far this year, to show us where they're at. Penrith, I think they've won two or three in a row, but as I said, it's been against some of the lower tier sides. So the thing is with Matty Moylan at six, they played Canterbury last week and they were good, Penrith, but I mean, I think it just takes away his variety. You know, Matty's so good at playing on the football, and especially on the back of momentum when Penrith are rolling forward, he's their go-to guy. He can play short side on the right or on the left, and he comes up with a big play at the right time, and he's done that for the last couple of years at Penrith. When he's at six, he's sort of anchored out on that left edge, and he's setting up a lot of the play around him, and he's always waiting for the set piece to sort of come his way a little bit. And even though it did a little bit last week, coming up against the better sides, he's probably not going to have as many opportunities as what he would have when he can kind of just have that license to roam around. He's also going to be a real target in defence for these big edge back rowers running at him, which might take a little bit of a sting out of his attack as well. So, look, I think in the next couple of weeks we'll find out whether Matty's, you know, going to be a positive move.
They've got a bit of an issue though there in the halves, haven't they? I mean, with Bryce Cartwright being injured, and then
I like Tyrone Peach. I think Tyrone Peach is one of the best players
at
Penrith
six.
Have had for the last couple
Not
of years.
Not at six.
And I don't see why he couldn't play a role at six when you've got a guy at seven that's such a great first receiver and general play organiser and game manager in Nathan Cleary that just gets the ball where it needs to go. Nathan, and you've got a one, Moylan, that plays so good at almost like a six. Why wouldn't you just have Tyrone Peachey, who's a great defender on that left edge and a great guy to get the football and just run? If you've got those other two guys conducting the game, I don't see why he wouldn't be a great 5-8 and just a great guy to have playing 80 minutes every week as part of your side. And he's on the bench. Last week he played about 40 minutes of the game, and he's one of their best players. So, yeah, for mine, I'd be headed in a different direction if I was coach out there.
Terry Evans doesn't say that much, but whatever he said of Jared Croker, we know he's missed a couple of goals, but he slotted out, went to Golden Point. But, yeah, Canberra, for me, they've been frustrating to watch because you would just anticipate after watching last year thinking virtually like they had Melbourne's measure there, except Edric Lee, you know, missed a couple of opportunities. Look, their form has just got to turn. They've got to get that killer instinct about them, I reckon. I like watching, the Raiders when they're at their best, but at the moment they haven't played anything to it. And even the Panthers now, I'm with you, Gurs. They haven't really played anyone, but this is a good indication where they're at to see how they go, because out of these two teams, I think the Panthers can go the furthest.
I reckon the losses that really hurt the Raiders not that long ago were against the Bulldogs and then the Knights. They went back to
yes.
back losses. That Knights game, that was a real game that they needed to win, and that the best teams find a way to win those games. The bloke who I love watching play for the Raiders is Rapana, Jordan Rapana.
Oh, yeah, mate.
Is he the best winger in the competition, Wendell? Or?
Yeah, I think so.
Is he better than Semi?
Yeah, I do. I think, mate, Sammy, because he's obviously had that little bit of a, you know, stuff off the field. Sammy, he hasn't been at his best. And I think last week one of the Parramatta boys was saying he's getting back to his best. But
you know, if Rapana doesn't play last week for the Raiders, they're not in that game at all against Manly.
What about the 80-metre try he scored? Oh, like, he just coming out of dummy half.
And footed the full, like, just totally had the fullback at sixes and sevens and then finds the speed.
Matthew Wright just got nothing but air. He was all air, baby, yeah.
Austin, now they've had a couple of years down there together. I just thought that they would be at a different level this year. They would be sort of the calming influence, and they would, we know that they can sort of both run the football and they can do things individually, but I just thought that they would, they would be the guys to take this group onto that premiership, and I just don't think they've developed the way that, you know, I thought they would have. And they haven't had that sort of that calming influence, and the back end of their sets hasn't been always great, and they're just not laying that sort of that platform that you need your spine to lay.
In terms of game management?
In getting into where they need to go on the field and just having that voice of reason on the field, and, you know, when they're making a lot of errors and when they're doing things that, you know, they can do, the Raiders, calming things down, getting them back into a really good field position, and they're making sure they get a good kick away. Just those simple fundamental things that the really good game managers do. I just don't think they've taken that step. And I also think that a lot of sides have done their homework, obviously, on them this year, especially on their nine, Hodgson, who had such a great season last year. Coaches are smart. I mean, they spend a lot of time going away in the off season and working out what the dangerous players do best. And certainly they've been able to, the opposition coaches, I believe, this year have been able to really make a big imprint on the way that he plays, and he's not having the influence he had last year.
All right, there you go. That is a big game this afternoon. You're listening to Saturday Triple M NRL. We're doing it for Bryden's Lawyers.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL with Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, what a tackle!
Beautiful tackle!
Triple M rocks the footy.
Yes, so Stella will join us at 2:30 as we head to that preview. The Titans and the Warriors kickoff is at 3:00.
Lotto Lane comes under a fair bit of, I guess a bit of criticism, but it doesn't matter where you played anywhere in Australia last night. That rain was horrible and it was terrible conditions. So whether we got away with it luckily or not, I'm still glad we won.
Hey, DC, it's Del, mate. Congratulations on the win and how you guys have been going. Tell me, you know when you're a young kid growing up in Serena Mackay and it rains and you just want to have fun? Is it the same when you play the NRL, mate?
Mate, yeah. Oh, look, not really. I'm not going to lie. I do like a fast track. Yeah. But look, with that being said, I think you have to embrace it. As a player, you've got to get out there, like in the warm-up. It absolutely hurled down in the warm-up. You just got to get wet straight away. Obviously, you know, jump in a puddle, all that sort of stuff. Just get wet, embrace it, or else you're going to have a tough day.
Daly, it was, obviously poor conditions and a bit of a short turnaround after what was an emotional one-point win the week before against the Raiders. Just, you guys came out, looked a little bit flat. Obviously, Baz gave you a bit of a rev at halftime. You're able to get the job done. And at this time of year, with, you know, so many distractions and so much footy going on with the representative scene and all that, you just need to get the job done, don't you?
Mate, yeah, exactly right. It definitely wasn't ideal conditions. But with that being said, we probably obviously didn't play our best brand of football last night. So, look, at the end of the day, we did win, and that was probably the most important part. We probably don't understand the amount of history we've got at this club. And when you bring in a player like Spud, who speaks with so much emotion, and they've got so much, history in the club and what they've been able to achieve, it's really good to hear it. And it definitely does give you that extra incentive when you go out there to not just, I guess, play well, but to prove to past players and what this club's all about, continue to do it proud, because it is a very proud club. It's got a lot of rich history. And like I said, when players like Spud speak, you definitely want to listen to what they've got to say.
Quiliuate has a bit of history with the Knights. Obviously, a Newcastle boy, played there, scored two tries last year. Well, one and a third of a try. Do you think he knew that he might have dropped the ball, Daly?
Do you know what? If he did, he's a great poker player.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to play poker with him, because he got up smiling and cheering as if he scored it. So, do you know what? I said it last night, guys. I think it's fantastic the fact that the refs are willing to make those decisions on the spot. And this, in particular, decision might come under a bit of scrutiny because it may have been the wrong call. But at the end of the day, if we continue to let the refs make these calls, whether it's right or wrong, the scrutiny will then come, I guess, a bit easier off them. They're in a position that's, it's pretty tough. I'm not going to lie. I reckon they're in a very tough situation. But moving forward, that's not always going to be the case.
No, you make a good point. We did rubbish them for the first hour of the show. Mm.
That's our job, Tony. Hey, Dally, you've probably got about half a dozen players in career best form at the moment. Why? What's happening out there that we should know about that's bringing the best out of these players?
Look, I don't know if there's any secret behind it. We're just enjoying each other's company and we're enjoying playing footy. That's probably really cliche, but it is the truth. We're enjoying going to training at the moment. We're enjoying hanging out with each other, and I think that's a big part of being a team is enjoying each other's company. And it doesn't necessarily mean everyone has to get along and all that sort of stuff, but at the end of the day, we all have a common goal to do extremely well and to play finals football this year. So I think it's just a bit of mateship and just a bit of continuity. And also, I guess, we're keeping the same regularly. We're keeping the same 17 on the field, and that can't be underestimated. You look at the finals, in particular the Sharks and the Cowboys of the last 2 years, those sides have kept a really, really small squad together, and they've been able to play that squad out every week. So we've been able to do that for most part of this year, and I think that's a big help as well.
And you did miss one of your key players for the last couple of weeks, and you guys still got the results. You must have been really happy with the performances without Tommy at the back.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Look, there's no secret. Tommy's a very big part of what we do, both attack and defensively. But to be able to win games while we have people in key positions not in, it really is, I guess it's a mark of where we're at as a side. We have structures in place where we feel as though that it doesn't matter if you're playing reserve grade or first grade. And by no means do we take a backward step without George being there. But we definitely do have to adapt our game because he was, like I said, very important for us as a side. So, look, Matty Wright played the other night. I guess with Matty coming into our side, he's also that sort of tough sort of nose player, hard-nosed player. But, look, he also can kick a goal, so there's a silver lining, I guess, to it with George being out. As unfortunate as that is, we can hopefully get Matty to continue to play well and kick a few goals for us too.
Dally, another player who's been great for you this season is Blake Green. Has his recruitment, has that changed the way that you do business on the field at all, or has it made your life easier? Or
yeah, mate, look, it definitely has made my life easier. Look, Greeny's he's an out-and-out football player. He lives and breathes it. He's been at a lot of successful clubs, and that's no coincidence that he's been involved with those clubs. He's very knowledgeable. He's always talking footy, and it's really refreshing to have sort of that, not just, I guess, teammate, but that friendship outside of footy. He's been great for me personally, and he's also done wonderful things for this side. And like I said, obviously he's been involved with some great sides, but it's no coincidence that we're going well and Blake Green came this year. So he's been outstanding.
Good on you, buddy.
Thanks,
bloke.
Del.
See you, mate. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. See you later.
There's Daily Cherry Evans. Next, we are going to play you the Triple M, the Black Label highlights, not to be missed. Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's lawyers, league legends Wendell Saylor and Ryan Girdler, and of course James Hooper from Fox Sports. And we will be joined by Peter Serling in roughly half an hour's time, all leading towards 3 o'clock kickoff, the Titans and the Warriors. We often play you highlights of our calls on this show. Because it is National Sex Day, we decided to give you the highlights in the Black Label edition. Oh.
Triple M NRL highlights.
Black Label Edition.
Appreciate this, Gertz. Nathan Cleary is on a 23 in a row goal kicking streak. And
oh, nice, well said then.
Cronk, a little chip kick. Oh, poorly weighted. And caught on the full here by Brock Lamb. That was from Cronk.
He shaped to go long. It was an early tackle. It's a hard one.
I don't mind the shock tackle, but he didn't tell anybody on his outside that he was going to kick. So in the end, it was a
Carter who comes up and in for no
first receiver to Cronk. Chip kick. Off the Navalu's out on his own. He gets a bad bounce, but he takes it anyway. Steps inside Gagai and strolls over. That's just far, far too easy.
Well, Jared Maxwell's a video ref. He's trying to find a reason not to give this because he's looking at it about seven times.
And to determine if Billy Slater maintains possession prior to grounding.
And he does. I'm telling you, he does, Jared. Just give the try. He was trying to overturn it. Never. So get rid of your $10 bucket of popcorn. Oh. Raj will bring it out strongly. Tap your bob. Oh, he's lost it. He's dropped the ball. Semi. Oh, come on.
He's dropped the ball.
He just had to tee out a 2-on-1 he created for himself with Latini Lizes.
Triple M in our rocks.
Oh, wow, that's a label edition.
Triple M rocks the NRL for Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future.